Innovative Memory Systems v. Micron.
May it please the Court, good afternoon. My name is Ed Flynn, and I represent the appellant Innovative Memory Systems. Your Honors, there are two primary sets of claim limitations involved in this appeal. One of the claim limitations is the claim term wherein the correspondence of blocks to zones is adjustable by controller. That's in Claim 1, and there are related limitations in Claim 11 and Claim 43. And the other claim limitation is the single controller that controls both programming, reading, and erasing, and also adjusts correspondence of blocks to zone. That's also a limitation of Claim 1 and related limitations in Claims 21, 32, and 43.
So this is all claims. I'm going back to your principal argument about Claims 1, 11, and did you say 43 or 33?
For the second claim element, single controller, Claim 1, and related limitations in Claims 21, 32, and 43.
Okay. It's a claim construction dispute, am I correct?
Yes, this is primarily a claim construction dispute.
Well, one of the things the board faulted you on, or there was discussion, was why you didn't, the board kind of said, well, you should have used the term boundary and not correspondence.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, it didn't use the term boundaries?
That you did not use the term boundaries.
Yes.
And used instead of that correspondence. So what's your response to that?
The board said that one of the things that it considered, and actually Micron in its brief said that this was a fatal flaw in our argument, that although the entire specification talks about adjusting zone boundaries, the word boundaries does not appear in the claim. Mm-hmm. The word boundaries doesn't have to appear in the claim in order for the claim to be construed that such as it requires adjusting zone boundaries. If that's what's described in the specification and the claim construction is to be looked at in light of the specification, the entire specification, the fact that the word boundaries itself isn't in the claim is of no consequence. It's certainly not of any
fatal consequence. Well, that depends. I mean, in some instances it might be of no consequence, and in other instances it may be. And I think part of that maybe is how clear the claim language is. If there's clear claim language that says something different, then you've got a problem, right?
Yes, but I think, in all due respect, that the claim language here is very clear. It walks through. I mean, if we start there with the claim language. It walks through that it is a memory comprised of a plurality of blocks, that the memory is organized into logical zones, each comprised of one or more blocks for address translation. The correspondence of blocks to zones is adjustable by controller. And so when you take that claim language and then you look at the specification as to what does that
mean. Well, let's just stay at the claim language, okay?
Okay.
And don't fight me on this because I may agree with you.
So
don't fight me too bad on this because I may agree with you. So you're saying the board was focused on the construction of the correspondence of blocks to zones. And is the dispute here whether the blocks that are being moved were in zones or not in zones at the time? Is that what the dispute is?
Well, the claim construction dispute is whether or not, in order to adjust the correspondence of blocks to zones, the blocks have to have a correspondence to begin with.
When you say the blocks have to have a correspondence, the blocks have to have been in another zone?
Correct.
Okay.
The blocks have to have had a correspondence to begin with to a logical zone, so that when you're adjusting the correspondence, the correspondence, what sets the antecedent basis, if you will, for the correspondence is the assignment or allocation of the block to a logical zone in the first instance, and that's the immediately preceding claim element of this claim term that's in dispute. And so by having assigned a block to a logical zone in the first instance, which comes out of the immediately preceding claim element, then the next element says wherein the correspondence of blocks to zones is adjustable by controller, that the correspondence is referring to the correspondence that was set up.
Well, let me ask you, or is another way of saying what you're saying is that the final where-in clause reference to correspondence of blocks to zones is referring to the earlier where-in. They're talking about
exactly
the blocks that were
organized into logical zones.
Okay.
Exactly.
How do you respond to the argument that it could be referring back to the plurality of blocks in the first limitation of the claim, of the body of the claim?
May I ask you to repeat that, Your Honor?
Sure. I mean, I understand what your argument is. You're saying that when we refer to where the second where-in clause refers to the correspondence of blocks to zones,
yes,
it's referring to the one or more blocks referred to in the prior where-in clause.
Yes.
But why isn't it just as easily understood that those blocks are actually referring back to just the plurality of blocks introduced in the first line of the body of the claim?
Okay, so I will address actually the plurality of blocks and then what appears a little bit later, the addressed blocks. So the plurality of blocks is talking about the overall memory. The memory is comprised of a plurality of blocks. So the addressed blocks, which follow in another claim element, and then the blocks in the last element of the claim, they are all subsets of the memory and the plurality of blocks. So when we're talking about up above, when it first recites to the plurality of blocks, that's not even in the context of the claim element that talks about adjusting the correspondence of blocks to zones. The addressed blocks does not add any confusion to what is the clear claim language. The board seemed to suggest that, well, this last claim element could have been referring to the addressed blocks. We don't know. Well, the address blocks, if you look at the specification, the way that they're even described, the address blocks are the blocks to which data can be programmed and from which data can be read. And that's described throughout in the specification that that's what they're using those addressed blocks for. By definition, by being addressed blocks, they must have associated address translation tables to be able for the controller to be able to translate from the logical address to the physical address of those blocks. In order to have the associated logical address in order for them to be able to have data written to and read from, they have to be part of the logical zones that have the associated address translation tables. So those address blocks are by definition within the set of blocks that have been organized into logical zones whose correspondence is adjustable in the last claim element.
So, why could the word correspondence be broad enough to mean just like how many blocks you're going to have and how many zones you're going to have? You know, maybe in one correspondence you'll have two zones and 50 blocks, and then in another correspondence you'll have four zones and 60 blocks.
It doesn't matter necessarily how many blocks are in each zone for purposes of correspondence.
I understand that, but my point is that correspondence is a broad term. How do I know that that's not one possible meaning of correspondence? Because correspondence is a broad word.
Well, I think that the board construed correspondence as a connection to or a relation to. And we took no issue with saying that that term in and of itself, correspondence, means relation to. But even if you use that common understanding of what correspondence means, it still means that when you're adjusting the correspondence or the relation, that it has to have a correspondence or relation to begin with. And the correspondence or the relation that to begin with comes from having organized the memory into logical zones. That's what gives the relation within the context of the claim language, and then particularly as informed by the specification. That's what gives that correspondence its meaning with respect to the correspondence being adjustable by the controller. You know,
So your key claim construction argument depends on the words adjustable and also this relationship referring back to the earlier where-in clause.
The relationship referring back to the immediately preceding clause, all informed in the context of the specification that is all about adjusting zone boundaries. So beginning with the title of the patent, which says zone boundary adjustment. And there are multiple places in the specification where it talks about the present invention and the principal aspect of the present invention.
The problem, though, is that, and you're making a very good argument here, but the positions that are being articulated in argument, I don't see are in the specification. And the main problem that I have is that the claims themselves do not refer to boundaries. Now, if boundaries, you're now saying that boundaries is you can find it all throughout the specification. That's true. Why isn't it in the claims?
Well, what is in the claim is that they are dividing the memory into the logical zones. So when the patent talks about, and so those logical zones set up the boundaries. So when they talk in the specification about adjusting the zone boundaries.
No, I understand that. I just don't understand why the claims don't use boundaries and contain boundaries as a limitation.
For whatever reason, the patentee chose not to include the word boundaries in the claim.
Okay, then why should we import that limitation into the claim?
Because even though the word, we're not asking you to import anything. We're only asking you to construe the claim.
Well, let's say that it seems to me that you are asking us to import this limitation. Now, explain to me why we should not do that.
Okay. So when we talk about, when the claim language talks about dividing the memory into logical zones, and it talks about adjusting the correspondence of blocks to zones, if you go to the specification and you look at the specification and everywhere it talks about how it explains and describes these logical zones, and then it describes how you, in order to replace, it's an improved method of being able to replace defective blocks that occur within one of those logical zones, so that not only at time of manufacture to increase product yield, but to extend the lifetime of the product in the field, that what you're able to do using this this kind of method is you're able to adjust, you're able to take the block from one logical zone. It's no longer necessary for you to confine the block in that logical zone. You can now adjust the zone boundaries so that a block that was once in one of those zones can now be brought down or brought up into another zone that needs it.
So that's do you think the terms correspondence and boundaries are interchangeable? I mean, is that your point? Are you saying the claims recite the correspondence, not just the word correspondence, the correspondence, which I think is an important point. But anyway, between the zone and its components, i.e. blocks already part of zones, to assist the zones with defective blocks. So whether you express it as changing the boundaries or the correspondence, is it your view that it's the same thing?
We're not using the term synonymously. The correspondence refers to the relation of the block to the zone. The boundary is the boundary, if you will, between the logical zones. But although the term correspondence and boundary is not synonymous, what we're saying is, as informed by the specification, when you adjust the correspondence of the blocks to the zones, the specification tells you that's what you're doing. You're adjusting the zone boundary. You're taking it from one zone and you're putting it into another zone.
Does your specification use different words other than changing the zone boundaries to describe this process? I'll give you an example. In column 10, like around line 60, it talks about the dynamic allocation of spare blocks. Is that a different
way?
What
line, Your Honor? I'm sorry?
Column 10, line 58 through 59. It talks about the dynamic allocation of spare blocks. And my question is, do you think your specification uses different words to describe changing of the zone boundaries?
I don't think they may be different words, what you just referred to, but that dynamic allocation of spare blocks, that means the same thing. That means dynamically in the field, because you're able to adjust these zone boundaries, you can reallocate blocks from one zone to another. That's what that language, dynamic allocation, is referring to.
Can I ask you also, just on the same column, but further up at lines 51 through 53, it refers to, it says, spare blocks may be evenly distributed among zones after an initial boundary adjustment at test time?
Yes.
Is the language evenly distributed among zones, is that the same thing as boundary adjustment?
Not when it's talking about being evenly distributed among zones. That means within each zone you have to have a number of data blocks, active blocks, and then you also have to have a certain minimum threshold number of spare good blocks that can be used to replace defective blocks within that zone. So when they're talking there in the specification about being evenly distributed among the zones, they're talking about each zone having as evenly distributed number of spare good blocks in that zone as you can.
But it's different words that would could be used to refer to assigning particular zones to particular blocks, or particular blocks to particular zones.
Right? That's not adjusting the zone boundaries, though. That's right. Just putting them in there to begin with. And what that's saying, that language is saying, first, at time of manufacture, that's when you can initially use this zone boundary adjustment, if you will. That's when you can see, when you're manufacturing the thing and the whole memory, and you can scan the memory, you can see where the defective blocks are within the memory, and then you divide the memory into the logical zones. That's the first time that you can, or if you have them in the logical zones and you scan, that's the first time that you can adjust the boundaries of those zones, that you can take a block from one logical zone and put it in another logical zone. But that's only the first part of the process. That's the first time in the process. Now we go into the field, and now more blocks are becoming defective in the field. And the whole purpose of this patent is, by being able to adjust the zone boundary as defects come up even in the field, you can still allocate dynamically, if you will, or you can still adjust the zone boundary to be able to put a good block from one zone, now move it up into another zone that needs that good block and doesn't have enough of them in there. You do it, and if you look at figures 4 through 6 in the patent, you do it by adjusting those zone boundaries. That shows you the figures of how they adjust the zone boundaries in order to accomplish that.
Okay. You've run over your rebuttal. We'll restore some time. Let's hear from the other side.
I did my best to respond to your questions. Perhaps in rebuttal you'll allow me to address the other issue, the single controller that
I think that's unlikely, because we want the other side to – you want to have the opportunity to have the other side respond so you can come back. But we'll see how things go.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Jared Bobrow for Micron. As the Court has been discussing with IMS's counsel, the principal issue here, and frankly the most straightforward way for the Court to affirm the Board's decision below, is to simply affirm its claim construction, which gave natural, ordinary meaning to this phrase, wherein the correspondence of blocks to zones is adjustable by controller.
Can you just step back a minute? Why don't you go back to the other wherein clause?
When yes.
You're talking about construing the claim language, let's at least put it in the context of wherein the memory is organized into logical zones, each comprised of one or more blocks for address translation.
Yes.
So if it's discussing the universe, it's got zones, each of which is comprised by blocks. And then when you get to the second wherein, and you're talking about the correspondence of blocks to zones, why is that not fairly construed as going back to the universe we've just been talking about, which is zones comprised of one or more blocks?
Because there's
Do you understand the question?
Yes. And it's because there's another universe. And that other universe is at the very beginning of the claim, which is referring to the memory. And it says the memory is comprised of a plurality of blocks.
Okay, well, that's talking about the memory, but that's preceded by the memory circuit, system circuit. And I can't, this isn't my field, so I can't begin to know the nuances between the universes we're talking about. But your reading of this is that this means this covers blocks that aren't in zones?
Yes, Your Honor. So really there are multiple points here to try to unpack. The first point is that the language says the correspondence of blocks to zones. It does not say the correspondence of said blocks for address translation to zones. That would be clear. That would mean that it's specifically referring back to the immediately preceding use of the word blocks. All the patentee had to do was say, said one or more blocks. But it didn't.
Well, except you're right. That would have been nice for your friends on the other side. But that's not the only way. I mean, I understand your reference to the first thing that just talks about memory comprising plurality of blocks. But the section we're looking at, this limitation begins by a controller. It's funny, it begins by the word controller and it ends with the word controller. And it seems to me a fair reading is in this limitation, we're starting with the controller dealing with the blocks. When it says the memory is organized, how is the memory that we're talking about being affected by this controller organized? And it only says into logical zones comprised of one or more blocks. And then it talks about blocks and zones. You following what I'm saying?
Are you understanding
what I'm saying?
I believe that I do.
Okay.
And I have two responses. So the first response is that the fact that it's talking about blocks in this very last phrase and doesn't use the word the or said or what have you means that it can refer back to the preceding paragraph. And indeed, the language that says wherein the memory is organized, that is referring back to the preceding, let's call it paragraph, that begins a memory comprising. The idea of the patent is that you have a memory. That memory has a plurality of blocks, and indeed some of those blocks are going to be in logical zones. But that doesn't mean that absolutely 110% of the blocks are necessarily and always in a logical zone. Some of them may be, some of them may not.
So I hear what you're saying, but I want to go back to the is organized
section. Yes.
Where it says the memory is organized. It doesn't say the memory comprises logical zones. It says it's is organized into logical zones. So I want to know, do you think that's closed or open language?
I think it's open. And the reason that I think it's open is because you have a memory, you have a plurality of blocks, and you can have within that memory essentially an array that you're going to say is zone 1, 2, 3, and 4. But that doesn't mean that there can't be other blocks in the memory
Why is organized? I understand what the difference is between open and closed phrases. And you're just telling me it's open and telling me what open means. Why is it open?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I was trying to make the point that it's open because when it says the memory is organized into these zones, that's not saying that every block has to be in a zone. There can be parts of the organization of a memory that are indeed logical zones, but that's not saying that there aren't other parts of the memory where there could be a block. And so the fact that you have this plurality of blocks and that's the memory, there can be blocks that aren't put into a logical zone. So that's essentially why it's open. Let me make my second point, though,
I understand because it says is organized into logical zones, each comprised of one or more blocks, right? So I see what you're saying about how maybe it might be that there's extra blocks. But can the memory have anything that's not in a logical zone because it is organized into logical zones? Why is organized open?
Because you could have a memory that is organized into zones, but that doesn't mean that every single piece of the memory is comprised within or falls within a zone. There could be peripheral circuits in the memory that are not
are
part of those logical zones.
Are you familiar with any case law that is construed is organized or anything like that? I mean, you know, we have obviously comprising, consisting essentially of.
Yes, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
I didn't think you would, but it's.
But if I may, I think there's an important second point to make here, mm-hmm. which is that even if the blocks that are referred to in this very last clause are referring back to these blocks in the penultimate clause, the where it says into logical zones, each comprised of one or more blocks, assuming that's the case, Tanaka still renders this obvious, and there were findings to this effect, because the correspondence of blocks to zones still is adjusted if you bring a block in from outside of a zone, and you bring it into the logical zone.
Where did the board give an alternative finding based on a different claim construction?
It did. Direct answer to your question is on page 23, appendix page 23. And this is related to the point I was making, which was that the board says...
Could you tell us what the sentence is that you're relying on page 23? Is it... You might find it right now, but I don't want to miss what you're saying by reading this page while you're talking.
I apologize, Your Honor.
Right.
On page appendix 23, towards the top, there's a paragraph that starts moreover. And it's in that paragraph that the board made the alternative holding that even if you adopt IMS's proposed construction of, quote, adjusting zone boundaries such that blocks from one logical zone are shifted to another logical zone, if you adopt that, the board found that Tanaka meets that because Tanaka has logical zones. It has zones 1 through 4 and other zones. There's a redundant block area. And if you bring in
they go on to seem to say, like, there's a sub-claim construction dispute that might be going on here about now the definition of zones and the declarations. So can you point me to our construction?
So the construction that was proposed was at appendix page 8, I believe.
This seems to be talking about...
Sorry.
I don't know. I'm looking, and I'm still on 23, trying to get through that. Our claim construction, meaning the board's, which patent owner does not contest. Was that right?
So on appendix page 23, where the paragraph that starts moreover... It says, even if we adopted patent owner's construction, that's the third line from the top, even if we adopted patent owner's construction, we agree with petitioner that the combined teachings of Tanaka and Astakri would still teach this limitation. The construction...
The question, though, is about, what is this reference? It's on page 23. It's about 8 lines up, and it says, our construction, which the patent owner does not contest, only requires that a logical zone... What is this, which the patent owner does not contest? It suggests that maybe this is talking about a different claim term.
No, so... At the very top, where it says, moreover, even if we adopted the patent owner's construction, that's the construction on page 9, appendix page 9. At the bottom, that's referring to the undisputed construction of the phrase logical zones, which appears on appendix page 8. On appendix page 8, there's an undisputed construction of what a logical zone is. And that's, quote, a logical subdivision of the total capacity of the non-volatile memory die. What this is saying and what the board found is that when you take that stipulated construction of a logical zone and you take the patent owner's proposed construction, transferring from one logical zone to another, Tanaka meets that because Tanaka's redundant zone area meets that definition of a logical zone. So Tanaka has a redundant area, a logical zone, blocks from that logical area go from that redundant area to a zone.
And that's based on the view that there's no requirement that the blocks have a logical address that's pre-assigned, that the adjustment doesn't require a change of the logical address.
Correct. There is no requirement that there be a pre-assigned address. There is no requirement that a block come from a logical zone. And that relates to that second point that I had mentioned earlier. So this is saying the board clearly made an alternative finding that when you take the stipulated construction of logical zone and you apply that to Tanaka, it's met, because Tanaka's redundant block area is a logical zone under this definition, and I take a block from that redundant area and move it into one of Tanaka's other zones, that changes the correspondence of blocks to zones. But importantly, even if you don't accept this alternative and you under the patent owner's construction, as I mentioned earlier, if you simply take that claim language wherein the correspondence of blocks to zones is adjustable by controller, and you assume that those blocks are only those blocks that are in the logical zones in the preceding clause, under the construction adopted by the board, Tanaka still meets that. Because if I have blocks in a logical zone, let's say I have a logical zone number 1, and let's say that it has blocks A, B, C, and D in it. Snapshot in time. Those are the blocks that are in that zone. And that is referred, so we can say that that is a logical zone and it's comprised of one or more blocks. Now, if I take a block from Tanaka's redundant block area, which the patent owner is saying is not in a zone, we think it is, but they're saying that. If I take a block from that redundant area and I replace, say, block D of one of my 4-4 blocks with a replacement block, I have changed the correspondence of blocks to zones in zone 1. It used to have blocks A, B, C, and D in it. I took a block, we'll call it block R, from the redundant zone area. I replaced block D with block R. I've changed the correspondence of blocks to zones.
Do I understand correctly what to be your adversary's position, which is that that doesn't actually work because in that hypothetical, the block wasn't initially provided an address for translation?
I think that is the
argument.
That's what they're arguing. But that doesn't matter, because the claim says that there are the memory is organized into logical zones, each comprised of one or more blocks for address translation. There is no dispute at all that in Tanaka, zones 1, 2, 3, and 4 in figure 48, that those are logical zones that have blocks for address translation. Undisputed. So if I take a block from the redundant block area, and that gets reallocated to one of the zones in Tanaka, I have absolutely adjusted the correspondence of blocks to zones.
I'm piggybacking on Judge Stoll's question. Is there evidence? We're talking about this redundant block area, so
yes.
We're now into lots of different terms. But is there anything that the board said about this redundant block area in Tanaka is a zone in which memory is already organized or mapped to an address? Because that's what the claims require.
So Tanaka, and I think that's appendix page.
Aren't you saying that redundant blocks are unassigned? In other words, they're not yet organized into a logical zone for address translation. Am I right about that?
Yes, they are assigned when the adjustment occurs. They get a logical address. But, and this is at appendix page 20, the board found that Tanaka discloses that blocks can be organized into logical zones. So that's a specific finding. And it further found that Tanaka...
That's fine, but how does that... I didn't see where you disputed that Tanaka spare blocks, in other words, the redundant blocks that we're talking about, are unassigned. In other words, they're not yet assigned into a logical zone for address translation. Am I wrong about that?
They are unassigned for a period of time. They are for address translation, because that's the whole point of having those blocks, is to use those defective blocks, and then the logical zones and the physical blocks get reallocated. So yes, they are for address translation, and we address that in our brief. But the key point here is that there is nothing in the claim, even under the, essentially when you look at this correspondence language, nothing that says that a block has to begin in something that has a logical address or anything, for it to adjust the correspondence of blocks to zones in a logical zone. Tanaka has what it calls logical zones that are indisputably logical zones. There's no contesting that on the other side. If I take something that is outside of one of those zones and bring it in, I've adjusted the correspondence of blocks to zones.
Okay, we're way beyond our time. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We're restoring 3 minutes of rebuttal. Just to be clear, though, you should be responding to this issue. Trust me, we've read the briefs on the other issue, so we will not discard that.
Thank you. So I'm just going to kind of pick up where Mr. Bobro left off. Indeed, the claims do require that the blocks whose correspondence is adjustable, correspondence of zones is adjustable by the controller, do start off in a logical zone that has been organized for address translation. That's why Tanaka's redundant blocks that are admittedly not part of any kind of logical zone that was organized for address translation, that's why the use of those redundant blocks to replace a defective block within a logical zone doesn't meet the claim limitation.
What claim limitation doesn't it meet? The language wherein the memory is organized?
Could you repeat?
What part of the claim limitation you say does not meet? And I'm going back to claim one. Are you referring to the language wherein the memory is organized?
Yes, where it talks about in claim one, wherein the memory is organized into logical zones, each comprised of one or more blocks for address translation. That's the element of the claim that requires that the logical zones be organized for address translation.
So if you have blocks that are organized into the redundant blocks, then that does not meet this claim language.
That's correct, because even though it may be in the context of those redundant blocks are organized into a logical zone in the sense that they are a subdivision of the total capacity of the memory die, and if that's what I believe that Chief Judge Prost, you were referring to before on page 23 of the final written decision that talked about this thing that this part of the construction that we did not contest. We did not contest that that's what the definition of logical zone is, that it's a subdivision of the total capacity of the die. But that's not the end of the story. The logical zone has to be organized for address translation. So when Tanaka's are redundant blocks, when they're in their logical zone, as the board has construed logical zone to mean, that's okay. But you got to take it one step further. Then you have to be able to show that that logical zone was organized for address translation. That's what Tanaka's redundant blocks, that's what they don't satisfy. That's why the moving of those blocks from outside one of Tanaka's logical zones into a logical zone doesn't meet the claim limitation.
Can I just ask you a final question? If indeed we were hypothetically to agree with you on the claim construction point, it still seems to me there's enough confusion in the record that would compel us to send it back to the board for a reevaluation of the prior art under a revised claim construction rather than a straight-up reversal. I think in the briefs you were asking for a straight-up reversal, and it seems to me, based on the discussion at least, that it's not entirely clear to me what the board was saying about Tanaka.
We are seeking outright reversal rather than remand, and I respectfully disagree that there are more issues that the board would have to resolve or, frankly, that it could resolve other than what it already has resolved. There is no dispute that Tanaka's blocks are in the redundant blocks are in a portion, even if they're called a logical zone, they're not for address translation. And if that's what the claim requires because of the proper claim construction, then there is no finding that Tanaka's blocks redundant blocks that are moved from its grouping into a logical zone, that that could meet that claim
construction.
Would we
have to remand in order for the board to make that finding?
There's no dispute about it. And I believe that the board has said that even there's been never dispute, and I don't think the board ever took issue with the fact that Tanaka's, and certainly Micron and its expert did not take issue with the fact that Tanaka's redundant blocks are outside of Tanaka's logical zones. There's no finding
necessary. So just to be clear, if we remand it on the basis of claim construction, then you don't think we'd have to remand to have the board look at the prior art and balance that against the new claim construction?
No, I think the board has made all of the findings that are necessary to balance that against the proper claim construction. The board has made the findings. There has been no dispute as to what Tanaka's redundant blocks are. So it's not like we have a disagreement that Tanaka's blocks are one, that they say that Tanaka's blocks are one thing and we say another thing. There's no dispute that Tanaka's blocks are outside of Tanaka's logical zones. There's no dispute that Tanaka's blocks organized where they are have any address translation tables associated with them so that they cannot be organized into a logical zone for purposes of address translation. That is all undisputed. So this is all about claim construction.
Once they're put into the logical zone, you would then say that they have an address, but it's just that they don't have an address beforehand. Do I understand that correctly?
No, I didn't understand that. Could I ask you to repeat that?
Once, if one of those redundant blocks
yes.
is moved in Tanaka
yes.
into one of the logical zones,
yes.
then at that point it does have an address.
That's
right?
correct. When it is moved into one of the logical zones to replace a defective block within that zone, at that point it has an address, a logical address associated with it. But significantly, once that happens, that's the end of the story for that particular redundant block. It cannot now be moved into another zone. There's absolutely no disclosure in Tanaka that once the redundant block is moved into one of the logical zones to replace the defective block, that it can then subsequently be used to transfer into another logical zone. So, again, that's true, and it's undisputed that before it's moved into that logical zone, it does not have a logical address. And I would also say that it necessarily follows that it is before it's moved into that logical zone, it can't have a correspondence to that logical zone. It only has a correspondence once it's moved into the zone, and then that correspondence cannot be adjusted by the controller.
Okay, thank you. We thank both sides, and the case is submitted.